Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. And He loves you.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We're in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line tonight with my big sister, Sheila G. You on the line tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise the Lord. Also, I believe I have on the line my good friend and mentor, Dr. G. You on the line tonight?
Yes, sir. We're here.
Praise God. We thank God for another week. We made it through by the grace of God. And so we're going to get ready to get started. We're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you would bless us, that we will be able to study, show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. As always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Sheila G., we, on last week, and still studying the sixth chapter of the book of Acts, and we were just comparing how things of the church back then was the same as things in the church right now. It's truly, whenever you have people in the church, you're going to have people acting a certain way. And just the events of this past week, dealing with the church, dealing with things in this world, has proven out again that there's nothing new under the sun. And on last week, we were studying, and you and Dr. G were talking about how people need to get into the Word and how to be led by the Spirit to live out according to the Word, and how that would help the church to be able to carry out the things that Jesus wants us to carry out. But because of the spirit of Antichrist, and because we are emotional folk, too many times we turn back to the things of the flesh and another world. And so what happens is the church begins to start mimicking or looking like the world. And when you have people that will stand up to that, we were talking about this fellow by the name of Stephen, one of the persons that was chosen to help deal with the issues and situations in the church, people turned on him. And it seems like that pattern gets run over and over again. But we were talking on last week, that doesn't negate the fact that we still have to stand on the word of God, and we still have to walk by faith and rely on God's power to help us get through it. And we ended up asking the question, did people realize the attack of the enemy and how we had to remain steadfast? And so that was just a recap of what we were talking about. And when we pick up today, it's a thing where you have people that can be swayed to tell something other than the truth. And you know, I look at our political government, and you know, recently our political government, they have people that have been persuaded to lie to try to get what they want for political gain. And it's the same thing in the church. You have people in the church can be persuaded to lie to get religious gain. Sheila G.
Amen. And a lot of times, a couple of years ago, there was somebody called it alternative facts, where they don't even want to call it a lie. It's just half truth or little white lie or just a different perspective of the way they see things. People put all kind of labels on it. But the fact is a lie, and only the truth will set you free. The lie is what keeps you in bondage because, you know, our parents always told us, once you tell a lie, you have to keep lying, keep lie going, and then eventually you're going to forget and get tripped up in it. And that's why God wants us to have the spirit of truth. Because once you lie, you're allowing the enemy to come in, and I don't care how you dress it up, and people will. They'll try to justify it and make excuses about it or try to say this is the reason why. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, a lie is a lie. It's not a little one. It's not a big one. It's not a black one. It's not a white one. It is a lie, and we can only stand on the truth. We can only stand on the truth.
And Dr. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come unto the Father but by me. And you know, at the end of the day, the truth is going to be the truth. And all men are going to be found out to be liars. But it just goes to show that men were doing the same stuff. I'm going to use the word stuff. Back then, they're doing now. And it's just... It's just crazy how when they just throw all the truth out the window to try to keep their position of authority, and it is in verse 11, Acts 6:11, it says. I'm going to use the NIV for verse 11. It says, then they secretly persuaded some men to say, we have heard Stephen speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And Dr. G, in your years of pastoring, in my short period of time of pastoring, I've heard people say that I've said stuff that I didn't say. And I'm like, where did you get this from? I've even told people to go back and listen to what it says on the CD or the DVD, and they'll still say that something I said was not what I said, Dr. G.
Well, you're right, Pastor C. Been there and done it and lived through it. And it's amazing how people believe that mess. I mean, I've been accused of saying a whole bunch of different things. They've confronted me and even told me I was a liar. And these were officers. I mean, you know, it's amazing how folk get it in their minds that, you know, the leader is talking non-truth, and what we tell them, it comes out the word. But you're right. You know, they'll cover up a lie to keep their positions and just keep it going. And, you know, and it's the same thing as they did back during biblical days that they're doing now. Nothing has changed except that, you know, when you look at the political arena, they're just coming out all blatant. I mean, at least there was a time folk would do it kind of under the cover. But now it's all out in the open, and folk just don't seem to care. So, again, a lie is a lie.
Amen. And that's the spirit of Antichrist, who is the father of all lies. And he falsely accuses God's people every day. He's an accuser of the brethren. And he falsely accused and he lies. He lied on God in the beginning. He told Adam and Eve that, you know, you're not going to die. You know, God's lying to you, and he just doesn't want you to be like him. And that's the lie from the beginning that was told. And people will pick it up. Eve picked it up, and Adam followed behind her, and just gullible. So if you look at verse 12, Sheila G, it says, so they stirred up the people. They stirred them up. They got riled up over this lie, and it says this is the part that gets me. The elders and the teachers of the law, in other words, the ones that knew better, like Dr. G was saying, the officers are supposed to know the word, supposed to be leading by an example. They got stirred up, the elders and the teachers, the leaders of the church, the ones that were supposed to be in charge, they went along with this foolishness, with this madness, Sheila G.
Amen. And you know, we talk about the people that lie about, you know, like even here where they were lying about Stephen and everything. But I want to take a minute to talk about the people where in there where it says he stirred up the people. That's why it's important. We as Christians have to know the word for ourselves. Because if you look at Acts 6, you go back to the 8th chapter, it says, now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. So they saw for themselves what he was doing, how he was performing signs and wonders. But they were so weak and not secure enough that just like the blow of the wind, somebody comes in and gets jealous and says, no, he's blaspheming against God. When you start for yourself and they're able to up the people, and that's the thing that gets frustrating from the church. It's one thing for someone, like you said, to be accusatory or to call you a liar, but it used to kill me when I would be in an officers' meeting and I actually heard what was said, I actually heard what was done, and then people would go out to the congregation and get stuff stirred up, and then the next thing you know, somebody was coming up to the pastor saying that the people have concerns about this, that, and the other. But where do you have your own mind? Where do you have your own heart? Where are you? Why are you relying on what a man says when you saw what God did through this man? And that is where the issue. Well, that's the true trick of the enemy. The true trick of the enemy gets you to doubt yourself, and you can see it in the politics where you got these little patsies falling behind, knowing, like you said, knowing it's a lie, knowing it's not the truth. But you can't trust. That's why you have to know God for yourself. That's why you have to pray for yourself. That's why you got to know God's word. You got to study Sunday school, Bible study, prayer service, so that you won't be influenced by somebody out of the blue saying, what pastor said, even though he's being used, but what the officer said, what the teacher said, what the preacher said, that's not true. And then you succumb to that, just like Adam and Eve. God himself told them. But they succumb to that. And it's happening here again. Just a few verses before, they saw what God did through Stephen. And here, somebody, all they had to do was point a finger, and then you had the mob. You know, they talk about how you get the mob mentality.
Right.
All of a sudden, everybody changed their mind. And that is something that's why it's so important for us to drive home that you got to know God for yourself.
Amen. Dr. G?
Well, you know, I'm glad Sheila brought that up because the Spirit has really been working on me since last week. more and more people, they need a real relationship with the Lord, and that's the problem. You know, most folk in the church is just hitting and missing. Yeah, they'll get happy, they'll
mm-hmm.
wave the hand, they'll sing, they'll blah, blah,
mm-hmm.
blah, this, that. But when it comes down to having a real, genuine relationship with the Lord, we don't have time for that. We don't have time to come to Sunday school. It takes too much
right,
effort.
Right.
We don't have time
right.
to pray because we pray only when we need to pray. Lord, help me. The doctors have said this, that, and the other, so I need you. We don't have time to call into the Bible study. And since
mm-hmm.
I've come back off vacation, I have been really driving all three of those things at the church. You know,
mm-hmm.
we need to just going through the motions. We need God for ourselves. And when we start talking this stuff about how the Lord has changed us, we really need to take stock and really ask ourselves, has he really? Because too
mm-hmm.
often our emotions will creep up, and as Sheila and you were saying, you know, the someone can come in and start a rumor. And people
mm-hmm.
will jump on it because it's, you know, they like the way it sounds. It's juicy.
Mm-hmm.
And,
there you
and
go.
That's not having, you know, if we had a real relationship, a real walk with the Lord, we wouldn't be able to allow those things to come into our own personal lives. And that's the thing for me.
Amen.
Amen. And it just... You know, these two verses, you know, verse 11, like Sheila G said, the 8 says they're doing these this power. And then it's just, you know, they secretly persuaded some men, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then they stirred up the people and the elders. And, you know, we finish up in verse 12, it says they seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. And you know, it's they're justifying their wrongdoing, and that's the part that I've observed down through the years in ministry, is that people, they can't stand on the truth, so they have to justify their wrongdoing by
exactly.
trying to create lies and falsely accuse people. But Jesus was lied on, and he was falsely accused
yep.
also, and so we shouldn't expect anything less from ourselves. And realize,
right.
again, this is the spirit of Antichrist. This is a tactic of the enemy. And
mm-hmm.
we have to be steadfast in that word. And in this next chapter, in chapter 7, Stephen was so steeped in the word, Sheila G., he went all the way back to Abraham, broke it down generation by generation. He went from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the seven tribes. He went... I mean, the 12 tribes, he went all the way to the prophecy of Jesus. And then he told them about them. So he said, there wasn't a prophet that you guys didn't like. God sent prophets. God sent, told you that, you know, that the Holy One was coming. And he said he came, and you murdered him.
Mm.
Oh, my gosh. He went.
Set you free.
Chapter 6 only has 15 verses. Chapter 7 has 60 verses where Stephen, line by line, precept by precept, went back through all the history. So all the elders, all the teachers, all the people, they that knew the history, he went back and he just lambasted them about, you know, let me tell you about all these lies that you got me standing up in here for. See. And he took them way back to Abraham. And we'll see that when we start chapter 7. And he just went down. He read them one up one side, down the other side. And then at the end he called them, and you murdered him. And then they just lost him. And that's when they stoned him to death. But I say that to say that that's the type of a foundation that we need. We need those 60 verses instead of these 15. If I can make that analogy, too many times church folk have 15 verse religion instead of the 60 verse version. And you can't maintain the battle. You can't maintain the steadfastness with the 15 verse version You got to get that. You got to get that whole thing from start to finish. You need to know it from Genesis to Revelation. You need to be able to have a command of the scripture to be able to combat the attack of the enemy, because the enemy knows the scripture. He knows the story. He knows
right.
the goings on, and he knows the people that have the 15 verse version of it versus the people that have the 60 verse version
That's
of
right.
it. Sheila G.
That's right, and he'll go after the weak. He'll do that. And, you know, that's what we're talking about here, where it says some people. Now, he didn't go after the people that had a strong faith and truly believed what they saw in verse 8 and knew in their heart of hearts that they truly believed and they had faith and they were just going to keep on walking in the name of Jesus. He went after those that kind of, sort of, had a little toe in the water, and therefore they were easily influence. They were easily able to drift to the other side because they weren't secure in their relationship with the Lord. And that's what happens today. That's why, you know, sometimes that's what happens when people backslide. It's like they're in there, but they're not fully committed. You talked about that when you were at the memorial service during your eulogy.
Mm-hmm.
You were saying about, okay, you're saved in your heart, but you got to have your mind made up. And that's these people went after people that, yes, in their heart they knew there was God, but they didn't have their mind made up that no matter what you say, I see the works of the Lord, and I see the Lord using this man, Stephen, to pronounce his word. So therefore, you can't tell me he's blaspheming against God, because I've seen it myself. I believe it in my heart. I got my mind made up. I'm going to keep on going. But so what he would do is go after those that are weak. Which, again, I continue to go back to the same thing. It's just like anything, any type of exercise, anytime you want a muscle to be strong, you have to continue to use it. We have to continue to use it through prayer, through studying God's word, through going to church, to get in that fueling station, to be built up, because Satan will go after your weakness, and you will be weak if you're not grounded in God's word.
Amen, amen, you know, it just plays out, and the Bible has blessed us so much to show us these things. I mean, it's actually showing us and saying this is what you need to watch out for. And you know, in college and in grad school, you have these people that will do stuff for you. They have these books called Cliff Notes, and
right
and now they even have. Where you can go online through social media, and people actually write your term papers for you, do your homework for you, and you know people want to phone it in. They want to phone it in. You know, they want to dial it in, and you know, it's just like Bible study and prayer service. You know, we used to go to the church, and back in the day we would have devotions, and we would go to the church, and people would gather for Bible study, and now we just phone it in. You know, and if we thank God for the technology, but if we didn't have the technology, people
wouldn't
do prayer service or Bible study at all. But you see, Stephen, you can't phone it in. You got to know it. You can't have somebody else doing it for you. You can't you can't get the Cliff Notes version. You know, you have to be into it and know it, because people will try to trip you up. So let's finish up in verse 13. Let's see the false charges that they brought against Stephen. In verse 13, he said they produced false witnesses who testified. And this fellow never stopped speaking against the holy place and against the law. And you know, they are willing to tell a lie, and they're willing to bring other people in to tell a lie. And all of this is so that they can have the person that's calling them out and causing them to not look good. And that's a lot of time with leaders. They don't want anybody to look good or anybody to disagree with them or not be loyal to them. And so they're willing to lie. And so in verse 14, it says, we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this temple and change the customs Moses handed down to us. Now, you know, this is just flat out wrong, lying. You can't sugarcoat it, and everybody's looking because, like you said, most of the people know that they're lying. They know that they're lying, and so when you stand on the truth, what happens? It enrages people. And it almost is like a slap in their face, but some of them don't have a conscience. And in verse 15, it said, "All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and here's Stephen over there chilling." It says, "And they saw his face was like the face of an angel." He's looking at say, "Yeah, he's looking at him saying, you know you lying. I know you lying. God know you lying." That's why I'm sitting over here looking at an angel, because you're convicted and you know you're wrong and you're lying and scheming. You can't even look me straight in the face. A lot of times, Pastor G, I'm sitting there talking to people and people are trying to tell a lie, and I'm telling them the truth the whole time. They can't look me in the eye. They can't say anything. They can't wait to get out the office and they're ready to run out the door because they know they're lying. And they know it won't stand up, and so then they just leave because they know that they lied, they didn't do what was right, and you're telling the truth, and you're just sitting there talking about, okay, God bless you, we'll pray for you, I love you, you know, hug them, and they can barely hug you, they can't say that they love you.
Right.
And it's just a real awkward thing. And this is like an awkward thing with here with Stephen, because they bend themselves into pretzels to tell the lie, and you're just telling them the truth, and they know it's a lie. They know it's not the truth, and that's why a lot of them just leave, because they can't stand the truth. Dr. G.
you're right, and that's the way the Holy Spirit works. I mean, it will give the person that's being accused the peace because he or she is doing what they should be doing. But the accuser can't stand the heat. And that's why, you know, I share with the folk, you know, you don't have to get all upset or bent out of shape. You know, just say what has to be said. Let God speak on your behalf. But as you were saying, those folk back in that day, just like the folk of today, and when I look back over the Church of New Birth, I mean, folk have had to leave. The Lord did take quite a few of them home, but a lot of them had to leave because they knew it wasn't the truth. And, you know, and I learned you can't get all bent out of shape because they know. And if leave, Lord, God bless you. Go on about your business. Dear friend, share that with me. You know, they weren't meant to be there long periods of time. Mm-hmm. So you take that and you learn. But when you look, as you said, when you look at Stephen was just as cool as a cucumber. And that's why you know he had been with God.
Amen.
Sheila G.
I just, you know, when we're going through this lesson, especially since we're comparing it to the modern day church, one of the things that back in New Birth, and you know this because you've known me since I was a child, is they couldn't understand me because they would get to gossiping and get to talking about people and get to try to get stuff stirred up in the church. And I would just look, I didn't put any input because I'm like, nobody's going to run and say the first lady said.
First lady said, right.
I would sit there, just calm, and to the point that they started to talk about me behind my back. And saying, she won't say nothing about nothing. I'm like, that's right. I'm not, because I'm not falling into that trap where I hear you smiling in a person's face 1 minute and stabbing them, and I'm not getting caught up in that. But it was the same type of thing that I would pray to God that, okay, Lord, help me keep my tongue. Because even when they would purposely try to get me stirred up by talking about the pastor, say things like, well, your husband, blah, 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 blah. And I would look at him and I would say, well, just pray for him. You know? Pray for the Holy Spirit. Let's be led by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, so that when I want time in a meeting I actually did have to speak, and they saw that other side of me. They were like, whoa, where'd that come from? And it was all the work. It was more of, okay, you know what? Y'all taking my meekness for weakness? Let me show you. And one of the things I said, okay, first of all, he who's without sin cast the first stone. Second of all, you can't try to get the splinter out of somebody when you got that big beam in yours. So I did it all through. But I did it in a forceful way, but they weren't used to that with me because normally when they would try to get me riled up, I was like, well, we just got to pray, or we pray for that person, or, you know, because you could see that they were trying to manipulate folk, and that goes back to what I said before.
Right.
You stand on the word of God, you can see when the enemy is trying to manipulate you and manipulate your emotions and get you to react a certain way, and if you resist, well, he will flee.
Amen. Amen. And this is the case. And yeah, it's just amazing that God has put this in His Word to help us to deal with what we're going through today. And it really has helped and blessed, you know, many generations down through the years. And I thank God that He's put it in His Word that we would have something to stand on. And know how to do it, and you know that is just so beneficial. It's just really beneficial because you know folks are gonna be folk. They're gonna lie. They're gonna scheme. They're gonna tell stories. And they're gonna do whatever you know they're influenced to do. And we have to stand on the word of God. And you know when you go back to this word. You know, this is the final authority, and that's what I tell people in church is that God's word is the final authority. You know, I might have opinion, you might have opinion, but you know, God's word is the final authority, and the church should be loving enough and a more obedient to God to say this is the final authority. And I might not feel it right now, I might not understand it right now, but you know, this is God's word, and you know, we should come together around God's word so we can continue to advance the cause of Christ. And not be divided and have isms and schisms in the church body because, you know, the people that we're trying to show salvation and introduce them to Christ, you know, they're looking at us like, you know, if this is what Christianity looks like, this is what church looks like, I don't want any part of that. And you hear people say that, you know, church is all to change. Why am I going to go, you know, and deal with that. You know, people say it's a church mafia or it's a cult, it's a cult. You know, all these things, you know, that you know, is what, you know, the church is showing people and instead of showing, you know, the humility and standing on, you know, the word of God. And it's a constant battle. It's a thing where like last week we said we had to be vigilant, you know, at all times to recognize the attack of the enemy and understand that he doesn't want the cause of Christ to go forward. That's why he called it the spirit of Antichrist. Because, you know, once that spirit gets inside and people begin to start getting transformed by the renewing of their mind and they start doing the will of God, you've got a powerful person on your hands. Someone that can, you know, do great good for the cause of Christ. Sheila G.
Amen. And that's why that's so important that we do that, that we have our hearts right, but also have our mind made up. You know, when you were talking about being vigilant in the church and watching out for when the enemy is rising up, you know, one of the examples that I gave last week, it was really on my spirit, was a church that was like 76 years old, and we didn't know exactly what was going on, but we knew that there were some isms and schisms because the pastor had passed away, but he had left strict instructions as to what God gave him as to who should step up as the next pastor of that church because he had been very sick for a while. And since that time, it got worse to the point there was a physical fight in the church and the church split. And I was saying last week how, and I didn't even know it split at that point, but it was in my spirit that I could just feel the Antichrist in there. And there weren't enough people to stop it at the head, even though the pastor must have recognized it as he got sick, which is why he even did a video radio to show, okay, this is what God has given me. This is how God wants the church to be done. They were doing positive things, building senior citizen center, a lot of things. But then that enemy was just like bed bugs. He just got in there and just spread and spread and spread to the point that it got out of control. And that's what happens when there aren't enough people that are grounded in the Lord, is that you can sway with any little thing. Then everybody, like here, everybody jumps on the bandwagon, but even though they don't know what's in the bandwagon, and then it literally gets control. And that's what happens here. And so that whole thing about being vigilant in the church, especially at the officers, especially at the head, because those, you don't know what's going to walk up in there. And you have to stay sprayed, prayed up. You have to not be a people pleaser. If the Lord decides that he can't have certain people in that church, you got to let them go. You know, you come, you love them, you appreciate them, and doors always open, but we will not compromise. And I remember that was years ago that Pastor G used to say, we will not compromise God's word to make people happy. So if you're not happy, if you're not okay with us not compromising God's word, then you have to go, and we have to let it that way. Otherwise, it festers and it grows and it gets out of control. And then the next thing you know, a church that's 76 years old has split. The enemy got in and emotions got intact and got out of control. So we have to be vigilant. You said we have to trust God. We have to recognize the enemy will walk up and sit in the pew next to somebody, but we got to stay prayed up. We got to stay in God's word, and we just got to recognize that his word cannot be compromised to make people happy.
Amen. Amen. It's terrible to see that. He said that the church is 76 years, and then to actually have violence, people actually fighting people physically in the church. And that's not of God. That's the spirit of Antichrist. And you'll have people that will go along with that as you know, that there's no need to repent from that. You know, the person that struck somebody, the person that fought somebody, there's no need to repent. There's no need to ask for forgiveness. And they'll just carry on like, you know, that's okay. Mm-hmm. And that is that's not the spirit of God. That's the spirit of Antichrist. Dr. G.
Well, she was talking, because I agree with her. The preacher that called me on Saturday and shared that info with me, it was hard to hear, but I'm not surprised, because that as a church grows and you try to do the right things by people, and that's as Sheila was saying, you know, you have to stay prayed up. You got to stay in that word. And everybody, it's important for everybody to be on the same page. And I hate to say this, that usually, you know, through the trustees, and this was the pastor's, the former pastor's daughter. That was president of the trustees ministry that started the ruckus. And because she felt she should be in charge. Now, the pastor had already left the video. Everybody saw the video. She felt as if she should be in charge. And girlfriend was the one that threw the punch. And those are the kinds of things that, I mean, and you hear and just say it's crazy. But then the other crazy part is, you know, the people that are willing to stay there and follow them.
Right.
I mean, there were some sisters who was the founder of the church are staying because dad was the founder. I mean, what happened to standing for right?
And what God
wants? Not because your father was the founder. I mean, if the ones that are in there start in trouble, it's time for somebody else to stand up and say, you know what, you're out of order. And we just don't have those types of people within the church. You know, everybody looking for the pastor to do everything. And like I share, folks, I'm not going to let new birth send me to an early grave. We're beginning to put things in place now that others can step up to the plate. But, you know, I've been raked across the coals by folk who I thought were legit and that were in my corner, and I found that they weren't. So it was a real learning experience for me. But it's until people really get in that word and are willing to not compromise their faith for anybody, we're going to continue to have those types of problems.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you know, here we see Stephen getting ready to give his speech to the Sanhedrin or to this, you know, this Jewish court, and they're going to end up killing him. And you know, you look at the Bible. The Bible is not a book that is just, you know, everything flowery and everybody's going to heaven. Every prophet that came before Jesus, they killed him. They killed Stephen.
Yeah.
And then they actually killed Jesus. It's you know, so what are we saying? What we're saying is, you know, I tell everyone that comes to tell me, you know, Pastor, I've been called to preach, or God has called me to the gospel ministry, and I tell them it's gonna cost you your life.
Yep.
And all of them look at me like I'm crazy. It's like, it's going to cost you your life. And they look at me like I'm crazy. It's like, this is what is required, you know, the servant, you know. You know, that song that our ancestors used to sing, you know, and I promised them that I would serve him till I die. I'm on the battlefield for the Lord. You can't get back off the battlefield. Once you're on the battlefield, it's going to be a battle.
That's right.
And just like you were saying, that person struck somebody in the church, you know, this is the early church, and they're not just going to strike Stephen. They're going to strike him over and over until he's dead.
Yeah.
And you know, it's sobering, you know, and if we look at this, we understand why that spirit that would stone Stephen to death is the same spirit that would come in and cause people to fight and act so ugly in the church today.
Amen. Exactly. That's why when I heard about it, I immediately thought about our lesson last Thursday. And then as I was, or what we were talking about today, as far as the people being influenced, I thought about the people that are following that mess, that nobody stood up to say, you were wrong, you're out of order, you need to sit down, let us all come together, let's pray, and let's work this out. And it's the same thing here in the second part of this lesson. From, you know, last week it was the people that got jealous and were accusing, and this week it's the people that are like stirring up folks, and that's what happened. And then the folks, like I said in the beginning of this lesson, aren't deep enough in the word and understanding of God that they just took man's word and agreed and jumped on the bandwagon.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what happened in this modern day church. So that's why we have to continue what you were talking about last week about being vigilant, because Satan is not going to stop. He wants to kill and destroy, and he will use whoever, whomever, or whatever. And we as a church body have to come together to say, no, it's not going to happen here. And we have to not get caught up in the cliques and the gossip and the rumors and everything. And they call us fade. When it's wrong, you're wrong. I love you, but you were wrong. You know, that's not godly, as Aunt Value always says. That's not godly.
Yeah.
That's not godly.
Yeah.
And that's what somebody needed to say. And that's what we have to do in God's church. It doesn't matter who it is. I don't care what position you have. If you're wrong and you're going against God's word, you're going against God's word. And we as members, as brothers and sisters, need to point that out so that we come together and move past it.
Amen. Amen. Well, we want to just ask everyone, pray for that church, pray for the members, and for next week, just read chapter 7 again. This is 60, I believe it's 60 verses. There's 60 verses in chapter 7. Chapter 15 was chapter 6 was only like 15 verses, but read all 60 of these verses it's a story, and that's why I want you to read it all at one time. It's a story from the beginning that Stephen goes and he talks to Abraham, talks about Abraham, and then he walks through the lineage of the 42 generations as Matthew starts his gospel out with, to the point where Stephen is actually killed for telling them the story and calling them murderers after he tells the story. It's a very interesting story, very, very rich, very compelling account of God's people. And you know, the Jews and Christians alike today know this story. The people that are in the world, they know this story, but they refuse, oh my gosh, they refuse to acknowledge it and to submit unto God. And it's just that spirit of Antichrist. It's a spirit that's against God, against Christ, that man wants to be in charge, large in charge, and he doesn't want to bow down. And a matter of fact, even at the end of Stephen's speech or his account, he calls them stiff-necked. He calls them stiff-necked. In other words, they will not bow down.
Seven.
They will not bow down. They will not turn from their ways. And they would want to lie, kill, steal, and destroy, like you said, Sheila, by any means necessary to stay in power or to do it that way, their way. So we want to challenge everyone to read the entire chapter 7, and then we'll talk about that on next week to get into it, to see this powerful man of God recite the history of God's people, and after he recites it, gives up his life. It's amazing. I looked at it and I was like, wow, this brother was truly sold out. You know, we got to stop playing church.
Right.
We really had to stop getting the, I call it the Cliff Note version, or the 15 verses, and stretch out on faith and take that whole 60 in. Dr. G, before we go to the phone line, do you want to comment on that?
No, I'm good.
I'm good as well.
Okay, so we're going to go to the phone lines, and we're going to ask the question about Do we know the history well enough to be able to stand on it with confidence? The history of God's people, and if we don't, you know, are we still striving to learn it? So that's the question: is do we know the history, and can we talk about it? So just like telling your story, it doesn't have to be word for word, you know, scripture for scripture, but just to know, you know, hey, this is how God started it out, and this is how God ended up with Jesus died on the cross. You know, do we have enough of that foundation? Is my foundation strong enough to be able to tell somebody about God and God's love and what he wants from us? So we're going to go to phone lines. We're going to go to first caller. Last verse, last four digits, 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I feel like I know enough that I can share with others. Of course, I'm still studying and still reading. We'll never get to the point that we know everything. I feel like God still has a lot that he wants to show me and allow me to share. And when I do study, I ask the Lord to help me whatever I learn, help me that it might be used for the upbuilding of his kingdom, but also help me that I might be obedient unto him.
Amen. Amen.
And to help me grow spiritually. And we not only want the mind of Christ, but we also want to take on the heart of Christ. And Jesus had that servant heart, that servant where he wanted to serve his Father. He loved his Father, and so he was obedient to his Father. and knowing that he came to do the will of his Father.
Mm-hmm.
And his desire, he was always focused on pleasing his Father and doing his will. And so when we take on that mindset like
yeah.
Jesus had, when we take on that humble servant heart like Jesus had,
mm-hmm.
then we are service. We can, you know, we can do the purpose that God has called us to do. But we constantly have to ask God to let us keep that mind which he has in Jesus Christ. And
yeah.
constantly let us keep that humble servant heart where we want to serve him and not ourselves. And a lot of times it's man's nature. It,
mm-hmm.
it's just something inside of us. When we get a little bit of power, we get a little bit of
mm-hmm.
title, you know, a little bit of education or whatever you want to call
mm-hmm.
it, you know,
mm-hmm.
we kind of get beside ourselves. You know, that's our nature. So we constantly have to ask God to keep us humble where the Holy Spirit can keep using us and we can keep hearing him. And the only way we can do that is to humble ourselves unto God. And the more we get in that word, the more the word
Amen.
Humbles us.
Amen.
That word humbles us. It not only teaches us, but it humbles us. It helps us to know that we didn't get here by ourselves.
Amen.
We need God. We need God. We need the Holy Spirit. And without him, we are nothing at all. So the more we learn about Jesus, the more we want to be like him, that example. And realize that we didn't come here for ourselves. We came here to serve him and to serve
Amen.
Man.
Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go to our next caller, our last four digits, 1487. 1487, you're on air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Yes, I believe. What was the question again, please?
The question is you have a foundation? Do you believe you have a foundation
yes.
strong enough to be able to share with somebody else about, you know,
oh, yes.
your relationship
All
with
right,
God?
Yes. Yes, thank you. Yes. I do believe that I have a foundation to believe in God and to share what God can do and what he will do, who he is, how he is, because I know most of the Bible. I don't know every single passage, but I know
mm-hmm.
that from the beginning to the end, he showed them who he was, and just like he's showing us still today. Because we can still have miracles today just because they was in the Old Testament.
Amen.
He can still make miracles. He can still make them.
Amen.
And I feel like once you get into him, if you're on that battlefield for him and you done made up your mind that you're not going back, you gonna, first of all, you won't want somebody else to come with you, anybody that you can get to tell about God's glory. And I believe in him and I trust in him, and I think that I can persuade someone else to come. But they might not stay, but You can't make nobody else do nothing. You can't
no.
make them do nothing. They got to have it inside. They got to know that this is what they want before they're going to really get themselves into it. And I know it's what I want. I'm going to stay on that battlefield. And I know that I love him. I'm going to wait on him. He done showed me. He's done changed me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just
mm-hmm.
happy that he didn't take his hands off of me. And I
Amen.
Just thank him
Amen.
For it. So I believe that I am capable, that I have power enough to try to pull somebody else and help them. Because I pick out scriptures, like Isaiah 54, where no weapon formed against them shall prosper, 37 times. All that helps me to keep on rolling. It all helps me to keep rolling. In Matthew 40-something, it said, many will
yeah.
come, but few will be chosen. I'm going to work
mm-hmm.
to make sure I'm one of them chosen ones. You see what I'm saying? So,
Amen.
Yes, I do understand. And
Amen.
I thank you for listening.
Amen. Thank you for your comment
Amen.
Tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four just 3343. 3343,
you're on air. Yes. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Able to call us and talk to each other each day and listen to each other.
I've just being old as I am and got a young man that's younger than I am and gave me a courage to say some things that I'm proud that I'm standing on God, stand on his word and stay with it. And it just gets to me. I remember as a child, I used to hate a person that lied. And I almost killed my sister by lying on me. And I'm glad that I've grown older and older. And I learned to listen to how the people go in church and do cell dives. And how the young man was so gave me such a courage thing, telling me how he's proud of me. And learned some of the things that I've taught him and told him about the God. And he's going to church. And he be kind of encouraged me to come to his church so I can talk to somebody else. But I just want to say I'm so glad I'm doing all right because I know I hate a liar. And I used to sit up and cry all the time. That I couldn't tell anybody to stand for somebody to lie on me. But now I'm so strong and so good now, a lie don't happen to bother me at all. And it's good. But I know I'm standing on a good foundation. And I'm not worried about it at all.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. Sheila G, that's going to do it for our callers tonight. Just have any last words and close out in prayer, please.
Just continue from last week that we have to be vigilant in God's word and recognize the tricks of the enemy and just know that if you resist the devil, he will flee and that we need to take what we know and encourage others to do the same. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you once again for allowing us to have another Bible study, Lord, especially the way that we're able to go through and recognize that there are things from this Bible in the early church that are still going on today. Lord, I pray that you will put your spirit within us so that we will be able to see the tricks of the enemy and pull on your word and be able to fight and resist him, Lord, and so that we can encourage and grow stronger and stronger in your word, Lord, so that we can give the devil a black eye, Lord. I pray that you will bless and touch each and every one of us. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. That's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.